Good afternoon, early evening to you. It is 4:52 p.m. on Saturday, March 30th. Your Purdue Boilermakers are preparing to play Tennessee tomorrow in the afternoon, what, 2:30, something like that. And I had a few thoughts, a little prep on my end as Purdue preps for one of the toughest assignments in the nation, Dalton Connect and Company. Before I do it, I want to say thanks to my friends at Homefield Apparel. Head over to Homefield Apparel, grab your favorite sweatshirt or t-shirt, throw it in your virtual cart, enter Boiled 23 at checkout, and you get 15% off your purchase. And when you're on campus next time, head right towards the fire station, go see my friends Adam and Jake, and grab some mac and cheese bites, grab some for dessert. You can grab some of the funnel cake. What? Funnel cake. Not straws. We don't say that. Funnel cake fries. No, we don't say that. Straws. I think funnel cake straws. I don't know what to call them. They're delicious, though. Whatever you call them, order them. They're really good. Y'all boiled when you go in there. Enjoy the TVs. Enjoy Adam. Enjoy Jordan. Whatever server you got, they're going to be good. So if you go there before, if you want to get your order done before, eatajs.com. Okay, so. All right, I had a couple people request I do a pregame quick cast, so I wanted to throw one up here. So I did a little bit of research before I did it, before I came on here. And Purdue has some things they can be concerned about here, right? I mean, this is one of the best teams in the nation all year. They flirted up near the top of the computer rankings. There's no doubt about that. They've been highly ranked as well. A good team. Played Purdue back in Honolulu, actually, in the Maui Classic. Purdue won by 4 points on the shoulders of Fletch Lawyer, playing really, really well. Fletch had 27 points. Connect led Tennessee with 16 points. Edie, I think, had 23 and 10 or 13. An Edie-type day. But Fletch Lawyer was the big story. And a lot of people talked about coming into the game, Fletch had been... I don't know if he was slumping, but he surely wasn't playing as well as many people thought he would be playing this season. As we found this year, Fletch has a bit of a different role. He's not called on to light teams on fire. It's really not his thing. He has done it a couple times, though. He did it versus them. He did it versus Arizona. And there's one other team this year where he got 22-plus points, if I'm remembering correctly. But Fletch was trouble for Tennessee. But what does Purdue have to look forward to now? Obviously, teams are a lot different than they were back in November. Let's talk about that a little bit. Of course, Zakai Ziegler is really, really good. He versus Smith is going to be a fun matchup to watch. They're similar stature. I think Ziegler's a little bit shorter. But Ziegler averages 12 points, a 6 assist, and three rebounds a game. Smith's numbers are a little bit better. But Ziegler's a tough assignment. He's a good athlete, low to the ground, he's shifty, he's strong, sturdy, a lot like Smith in that he can take contact in spite of the fact that he's not the tallest guy on the court. Tennessee goes about 8 deep in their rotation. Another two guys that'll be noteworthy to you guys and girls would be Adu. He's 6'11", 240-pound guy. Tough for him to match up physically with Edie. I think what you're going to see is maybe you'll see remember, they were pretty physical with Purdue. That was a really kind of ugly game at times, and Purdue just had to tough it out. They had to grind it out, which is unusual because Tennessee has put up a lot of points in the SEC this year, and maybe they'll look different when they play Purdue this time just because maybe the habits have changed a bit and they're moving with a bit more pace. I don't know. You never know until you see two teams on the court together. I think Tennessee will throw other big men at Edie, of course, and throw some fouls at Edie, which is not uncommon. We've gotten pretty used to that, but I think they'll do it more like Gonzaga did it, where if somebody gets into foul trouble, you'll see another big come off the bench that maybe doesn't play as much. After those 8-man rotations, the minutes fall significantly for Tennessee, and there's some guys like, I think the guy that I thought might be Estrella is a guy, he's a freshman, I think, but he's 6'11", he's like 230 pounds. He's another big body to throw at Edie. But Tennessee has some issues here. everybody has issues playing Edie, obviously, but Tennessee has some issues because they're really not built that way. They're not built to have a traditional back to their basket center or to play this type of game that Purdue plays sometimes or most of the time. So they're gonna have to get creative a little bit on how they front Edie. I think you'll see there was another guy on the team, Josiah James Jordan. He's a fifth-year guy, 6'6", 224. He's listed as a guard, but he's a big body guard. He's a big dude. He's strong. And so we might see him fronting Edie in a bracket, something like that. I wouldn't be surprised at that. Tennessee employs a little bit of what Ohio State does, where you have two guys that are clearly different than the rest of the guys, and then they have a three-man rotation that the guys are all kind of interchangeable. That interchangeable basketball is so popular right now with in the NBA, in a lot of programs in America, when you have guys that are, between 6'2 and 6'7 that can all move pretty well and all do pretty things. I guess 6'2 is a little short, but 6'4 to 6'7, a lot of 6'6 type of guys in that type of rotation. Tennessee is no different. But their best guy in that group, in that interchangeable basketball model, if you will, is Dalton Knecht, of course. He's 21, he averages 21 points. Four, almost five boards, and nearly two assists a game. Tough assignment. He's one of those guys, when I watch him play, he pisses me off a little bit, honestly. I don't care if they're playing Purdue or somebody else. But he's got swagger, but he's just kind of a jerk, and that's okay. I mean, it's not the end of the world. If I was that good at anything, I'd probably be a jerk too. But he's a very good player. He has earned all the commendations he's gotten this year. He's probably the second best player in college basketball behind you-know-who. Tennessee fans will get into discussions with Purdue fans on Twitter because Knecht hits shots from the outside, and that's something that they think is worth more than scoring. If you score 22 points on the inside or 22 points shooting outside and inside, they think he deserves the tip of the cap. But if you really break down the stats, Edie is a better player. He's been more consistent. Obviously, tremendous career for Edie too. But Knecht took a quantum leap jump in his transfer. When he came to Tennessee, became so much more of a complete player offensively. He's very, very good. And it's going to be tough for Purdue. How will Purdue try to stop or slow down Knecht? Who knows? Maybe Matt Painter will throw some things at Tennessee as maybe they'll lag off some people, and Painter will play the analytics game we've seen a couple times this year, where they'll give a guy a chance to score so they can shade or double towards Knecht. But what I think you're going to see a lot of right away, you're going to see Lance Jones on Knecht, just because he's strong enough and he's good size, of course. I think you'll see Heidi thrown at Knecht, and I think you'll see Gillis on Knecht a little bit too at different times, maybe even Morton. Maybe we'll see more Morton minutes tomorrow, than we have recently. Of course, Morton selflessly just fouled at the end of the first half just to keep Gonzaga from scoring. I think you're going to see Purdue playing a little bit different pace than they did versus Gonzaga. That really, really deliberate half-court game that Purdue was playing is really not what we're used to seeing. And it's kind of like it's pulling Jones back on the reins. And I don't think that's what we're going to see, especially not for an entire game or three quarters of a game like they did versus Gonzaga. A couple other interesting notes that I had when I looked at this is a lot of Purdue fans are saying, you know, it's tough to continue to beat a team or dominate a team. But if you really look back, Tennessee beat Purdue not very long ago. Of course, none of the guys on that team that beat Purdue were on the team back in 2017. They upset Purdue in the Bad Boy Mowers Atlantis tournament. Purdue was number 18. That was the one I think Purdue, if I'm thinking correctly, I think that's the one Jay Money was at that tournament. I'm almost positive. It could have been Bahamas. It doesn't matter. But Purdue was upset, and Purdue and Arizona both were upset, if I remember correctly. I might be a little messed up on this. But so they had that loss to Tennessee. They beat Tennessee in 2019, of course, in the game. I was there in Louisville. Many of you were there, too, when Ryan Klein went nuclear and Boogie Edwards just continued doing what he was doing in that tournament already. And then, of course, the four-point win over Tennessee in the Maui Invitational this year, which That field clearly has proven out that it was very, very good, and time is showing that it was all legit. How do I feel about this game? I said it yesterday, I'm going to continue, or 2 days ago. I don't feel good about any of the remaining teams Purdue has to play because they're good. I thought Purdue should beat Gonzaga because I thought that's a good matchup for Purdue. I think actually that's it's a similar thing. They have no match for Edie. Gonzaga didn't have a match for Edie, but they have better size than Tennessee. Tennessee moves really quickly. They're very athletic. They're a very good team. I think this is a real chance for Matt Painter, obviously, to break through his glass ceiling. You know, Final Eight is all he's done. The Elite Eight is as far as his teams have gone. And it's a real chance for him to flex his coaching muscles, in my opinion, because Tennessee's coach gets out over his skis a little bit. It's happened before in tournaments. I think I like that coaching matchup a lot. And we'll see if that proves out and correct. But like I said, I'll get nervous. I'm actually getting more nervous right now as I think about this game. And I was pretty wound up yesterday before the Gonzaga game and felt better, of course, as the game went on. But I'm a little bit nervous. So little fun note, my son, LBD, and I, we got tickets. We are going to be heading to Detroit for the game. I'm excited about that. I want to be there when they break through. I mean, that's all there is to it. I want to be there. Sadly, I'm 0-2 in the Elite Eight as a fan. My son is 0-1. We were together in Louisville. And I was in Knoxville when Robinson was injured and Purdue got beaten by Duke. I want to see Purdue break through to Final Four just like you guys do, but I want to be there. When Purdue won, I was like, okay, I got to find a way. I got to do this. And the tickets were so much more mercifully priced compared to where they were for Indianapolis. I mean, I was like, okay, I can afford this. We can do this. So that feels good. Hope to see some of you guys in the concourses at Little Caesars Arena. I'm going to look at your comments. Appreciate everybody who's here live. Midwest Torque says, calm and cool, just like the team. Yeah, but my title of No Pressure, Just Basketball. Zach Edey has handled this thing business-wise really, really well. That's his quote from, I think, after Utah State. I didn't talk about that in any of our podcasts or anything, and I was like, man, this quote deserves some... It deserves some airtime, deserves something. So I wanted to put it on the picture and put it on the title. This team has been extremely professional, and they're a tough matchup for anybody. And if they keep handling themselves just cool and calm, I think nothing but good things are coming. Dick Stillwagon says, hell yes, when your team makes the Elite Eight, your favorite podcasters podcast more frequently. Yes, there is a lot more content coming out. The bad news for you, regardless, I think I'm going to have a hard time getting the podcast up in the afternoon after the Tennessee game tomorrow because of the situation where I'm going to be. So there'll be a bit of a delay. Maybe if things go the way we hope they will, maybe Anish and Jay will get on. I'm going to talk to them about that. And I will do a wrap-up as well eventually, regardless if they get on or not. But yeah, I'm glad you're here, and I appreciate the kind words. Tim Swartzel says, good thing for this since all I'm doing this afternoon is searching for Purdue hype videos and tweets. Yeah, you're kind of getting lathered up, and I watched the highlights yesterday. Game. It's funny. I watched the game. I got into the mode of I was just like enjoying Twitter because that's when Twitter is best after a victory. Enjoying some, reading some things, watching some pressers. I went to bed at 2:45 because I couldn't go to sleep, but I didn't watch any highlights. It was funny until today, and so I've watched some highlights. I'm with you. Akoldi says, Adu will have nothing against Edie. He's quick. He's quick. Edie's played quick, power forwards. He's not really a center, I don't think, and he's not listed as a center either, but... I think Edie's ready for that matchup. Andy in Colorado says, good afternoon. Good to see everybody. A little bit nervous for this game, but less nervous than the past Elite Eight games going back to 94. That's good to hear. I tell you what, I can feel my nerves cranking up, and it stinks. I hate it. I don't know why I do this. Acoldi says, living deep in volunteer country, pray for me the next 24 to 48 hours. Yeah, that's a hard, it's a hard matchup. I think you've talked about that before. Yeah, that can be, that can get pretty obnoxious. I'm positive of that. Mark Garrity says, I don't like this game, but feeling better after how we handled Gonzaga. Very, very businesslike again. Purdue completely just dictated the game versus Gonzaga. That's an awesome, awesome feat. Not only by the players, but by the coaches to create a game plan that controls everything. Brian Feldman says, the way I see it, we only lose if it's to ourselves. We need our guards to play the way they've been playing in the tournament, and we need to step up on defense. Little sprinkle of good coaching, we should win. Also, I wouldn't mind to see that Purdue at full octane game that we've been talking about. I know Utah State, I know they blew them out, and I know it was a fun game, but I'm still convinced that wasn't like the best game. I just think they broke Utah off something. Like they just completely they ripped their hearts out, you know, they demoralized them. And so it was kind of easy cruising in the second half, obviously. But I don't think it took Purdue's best game. I think Tennessee could take a really, really good game from Purdue. And I would love to see another cruise, a 12-point-plus victory, just because I would really be smiling a lot in the Little Caesars Arena and high-fiving with you guys. It'd be great. But, yeah, like it'd be great to see Purdue play their full strength, their big-time game, the way they're capable of playing with a big three. We don't care which one, but three players that all bring, you know, 10 to 12 points plus, and shooting free throws well is a huge deal with Purdue playing their game. Getting to the free throw line, obviously, is part of what Purdue wants to do. But if they don't, as we saw last game, they can still cruise to victory. Blaine J says, I'm not an overly confident guy, but here's my call. Purdue by 10 plus again. Tennessee fumbles this one up like they did in their tournament. Purdue to the Final Four. Very fun to hear people that are super confident. And I don't feel bad about it. When I say I'm nervous and when I say I don't share that confidence, it's not because I don't share any confidence with the team. It's, again, just kind of, it's all on this side. It's all me. And the players, I think, have handled themselves brilliantly, and I think they're going to continue to. So they're very capable of doing what you said. The boys are confident. Got to ride that, says Brian Feldman. Ron Gable, who is currently up near Detroit, says Morton will come in when the Boilers have a couple fouls to give late in the half or game. So he doesn't see Morton having a huge role. We'll see. We'll see. Let's see. Dick Stillwagon says, do better, Jay. I don't know if that's a reference to Jay Money or Blaine Jay up here. Do better, Jay. Sorry. Pat Gottschall says, Tennessee likes to play fast. I think we play better when we play faster. Purdue showed it versus Arizona, versus Alabama, when they speed up and they're allowing themselves to play within the framework of the offense. Purdue is really good with pace. Really good. Those aren't the only times. But, yeah, they can play fast. They can play fast. So I'll get back to your comment. Interestingly, our previous matchup in Maui was a 74-possession game. It was a 51 combined fouls that mucked it up. Yeah, and it was really very ugly. That it was super physical. It was not a fun game to watch, if I remember correctly. It was fun to see Lawyer play with swagger, but yeah, I'm with you. Albuquerque Boiler says, love the sweatshirt, B. Dowd. Let's make a BS party here in Phoenix. Make the BS party in Phoenix a reality. Boilers. Okay. Yeah, I'm in. I want to do that. It's going to be fun. I think the atmosphere will be great if they can do it. It's going to be 44 years of stress and pressure being alleviated, a party that's long been long overdue. So that'd be great. Great to see. Fatal says, the only team that can beat Purdue is Purdue now. I agree, but I also think Connecticut's really, really good. I love the path if they can get to Phoenix. I love it. Adam P says, based on Purdue's history, we don't lose to good teams. Of the remaining teams, then we should be concerned with NC State. And it's a very big possibility NC State gets past Duke because Duke is soft. And NC State is a team of will. They're tough. I like some of those guys on that team. I actually like watching that team. I like their coach too. Like I said, I think I told you guys before, I think I said this the other night, he looks like an R&B singer from the 80s. Very, very debonair man. Ron Gable says, the only people that have seen Elite Eight wins were either there in 1969 or 80. You're not alone. It's, man, long time, guys. It's a long time. CO says, I think Purdue needs to play good defense. Yes, indeed. If they do, Tennessee won't hang with them. Purdue's defense needs to be locked in. There's no doubt. And we've seen times this year where the defense hasn't looked great. I don't think we've seen that in the tournament. Let's see. They had a cup. They had a little bit of a lapse versus Grambling early, if I'm remembering correctly, right? What, 5 minutes where the defense wasn't up to snuff, but it's been good. They've been locked in mentally, and I think they've been locked in physically. Brother Ted says, how do we analyze TKR versus Gillis minutes with respect to the Tennessee matchup? Minutes, there's only so many minutes you can play, right? And I don't think it's necessarily Gillis that will take TKR minutes. I think you're going to see just some minutes that are chopped up, and it depends on who gets hot and where they play. For instance, if TKR starts off like he did versus Utah State, you're not gonna pull him, and if you do pull him, it's not going to be for long because he's going to get right back in there. But you may see Lawyer's minutes cut down to about that 27-minute mark like he was playing before the tournament, which isn't a bad thing. Let's keep him fresh. Let's keep him ready for the next game if it's not his day. But if Lawyer's bombing like he did versus Tennessee, he's going to hold a lot of those minutes down, in spite of the fact that defensively it's a bit tough for Lawyer to match up against some of these bigger athletic guys. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. Jim Garfinkel says Tennessee plays bully ball. We're up to that. Yeah, Purdue doesn't back down to that, and they do. They absolutely do. So CO again says Tennessee likes to put ball pressure on the guards, make it hard for them to pass deep in the post. Wondering how we plan to help our guards have room to operate in the offense. So if Purdue does what they did versus Gonzaga, Purdue's going to be in big trouble, obviously. But Purdue's been watching film. Matt Painter and PJ and Brandon Brantley and Coach Johnson have been watching film. They know what they're going to see. You've watched Tennessee. We know what we're going to see. Purdue will not approach this game like they did versus Gonzaga. If they do, it would be very, very different. Like you said, Tennessee's going to try to push Edie up and put the pressure up on the guards. Pardon me, to make Purdue's offense a little clunky. So we'll see what happens. 1 second. Excuse me. Allergies are awful. Fatale says, I think the country wants UConn-Purdue championship game. I agree. It sounds like it. The media tune has changed a bit if you watch ESPN this morning. They're the two best teams in the country, no doubt. Dang 223434 says, pick and roll, CO. Okay. Pat Goschel says, I suspect we will be extra locked in on Connect given the chatter that he should be National Player of the Year or Edie. I don't think that chatter matters, does it? I mean, like, nobody that matters believes that. Nobody. Like, I haven't seen one person that, and maybe there's some national media types, but I haven't seen anybody that really matters, that's smart, that I really haven't seen anybody say that Edie, he deserves it more than Edie. So, fans are stupid. Most fans are stupid. Acoldi says, Connect, going to shoot horrible tomorrow, I think. Lance going to steal the ball from him at will. Okay, I like that. I would love to end a couple Player of the Year type guys because it seems like you've got now, because you're in this position, they're lined up now. They're potentially, you could play three Player of the Year type guys, preseason Player of the Year guys, right in a row. And that's what you get when you get in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. But these next three teams, Tennessee, possibly Duke, UConn, or Tennessee, Duke, and Illinois, which I don't think Illinois would get past UConn, but all those, you got great players, like really great individual players on those teams. Jay Tent says, I like the more work to do mindset they have, but I still hope they're having fun with this. I think the team's having a lot of fun. But you saw the way they pinned the Purdue onto the bracket. You saw that, by the way, I can confirm it was Colvin. I think last night I said it was either Colvin or Martin because I saw it on a phone and I couldn't see that point. I had my glasses on. So, yeah, that was funny. the fact that he was like not everybody gathered around the board. He did it by himself, and he gave kind of a sarcastic thumbs up. Said a lot about this team. Said a lot about the way they think of that win, meaning it's a step to a bigger thing. So that's awesome. Fatal says, would you go to Phoenix if they win? Yes. Yes. Yep, I'm going to go to Phoenix if they win, and it'll be hard to get there. I've already been pricing it out. It's going to be expensive. It's expensive for everybody, but I've got a plan. I've got a plan. So I don't know if I'll be able to get into the, you know, my friend Nate said, is it Nate who said this? That you can get into the games in the big football stadiums if you wait till the last minute and just kind of lurk around, and there'll be scalpers out there. Problem I have with scalping is you can get had, and Ron Gable, my buddy, knows, man, you can get worked by that. I don't want that scenario of losing a lot of money and not getting in, right? I think that's the worst case scenario. So maybe I'll just wait and see what the digital boards are doing close to tip off. And maybe I'll be able to get in, but we got to, before any of that happens, Purdue's got to handle their business in Detroit. Blake Widmer says, tickets booked for Phoenix. Awesome. Alex Drix says, Purdue advancing the Final Four on Easter would be and the national championship during a total solar eclipse. Sounds like a new world order. I didn't think about all that stuff. That's kind of fun. There's a lot happening there. Yeah, the eclipse is, it's on the day of the national championship, I believe, in Indiana. And so a lot happening there, no doubt. Blake Widmer says all Final Four tickets are digital. Okay, so I shouldn't get a scalper's ticket in Phoenix then. Thank you. That's funny. T1D Steve says I'll be there tomorrow with you. Excellent. Let's enjoy ourselves. Acoldi says somebody my dad works with got scammed. Yeah, it sucks, man. It's a bad feeling, and it happens to the best of us. Fatal says, need a live stream tomorrow during the game. I'm gonna be a wreck unless Purdue just has a really, really good first 20 minutes, a good first half. So I might check in though. We'll see if I can get on Twitter live or something. Getting on YouTube for me on my phone and broadcasting even a short is really difficult because this account is shared between us, and things happen when you sign off one, then it does some things with passwords, and it's not great. And I'm not the primary on this account, so that's it. Let's see. One more. Coldy says, for a Tennessee game. Wait. For a Tennessee game, ironically. That is... Oh, talking about your dad getting scammed. Yeah. Let's have none of that. Let's have none of it. But thanks to everybody for tuning in. Appreciate the kind words and the request for a quick cast look ahead to Tennessee. If you're going to be in Detroit, and if you see me, say hi. Love to talk to everybody, and hopefully I will be in a decent shape mentally where I'm not too stressed out. I went to a game this year that was I think I was at Illinois, wasn't I? I think I was. I was at one or two games that were against better opponents in Mackey. So my stress was, you know, I had to contain it and not punch things or people. I'm kidding. Myself, it's a lot of internal angst for me. So hope you guys are better at dealing with than me. Blaine Jay talks about next year's team, and it is too soon to talk about it, but we have talked about it a lot. It's going to be so different, so much more, so much quicker. They're going to be so athletic. It'll be a ton of fun, but for now, let's have a lot of fun with what is happening. Fatal says, what's your Twitter to confirm? Boiled Sports is the Twitter. Boiled Sports, easy peasy. So it's funny, there are people on Twitter that don't know that we do this, meaning we, you know, the Boiled Sports guys do podcasts and quick casts and post games and all that, and even write a little bit. And we've had the website for 18 years, so our messaging hasn't done a good job. Our marketing department needs to all be fired. But it's funny to hear the other way around. So glad you're on here. Follow us on Twitter if you don't. It's not life-changing. It's just good conversation. It's not BS either. We're not, you know, we are who we are. I'm the same guy in person as you see here and on Twitter. There's no, like, weird internet muscles or any of that. I'm the same dude. So I sure hope I am. For those of you who know me, I hope you back that up. That's about it. Hope your afternoon is good. If you're in central Indiana, go out and enjoy the weather. It's a little windy, but it is beautiful and it looks the part. It looks like a spring day. God bless you. Hammer down. We'll talk soon. See ya. Go Boilers.